17, I think.
Something. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got it right now.
Well, good. We're all on the back.
Thanks for bringing it in. Yeah.
I share everything.
Share it.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's quite a few there. All right. We're going to go through, get started on lesson three. David's still out. He has the hives.
He's dealing with it.
So, you know, feel for him because it's head to toe type thing for him. So it's a lot of discomfort. So, but, Todd, do you mind leading us in a prayer?
Father, which art in heaven, we're deep grateful for another Lord's day that you've given us to meet here to study another lesson from your word. Father, we pray that everything said and done this morning is according to your will. Father, we pray for brothers and sisters not able to be out this morning due to weather or sickness, pray that you would watch over them and care for them. We thank you for everything that we have. We can be grateful for the gift of your Son, the salvation that we have through his great sacrifice. Pray that you might forgive us our sins. We ask all these favors and blessings in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, brother. All right. So we are looking at lesson three. It's another good study on the roles in marriage. And I like I like everything that's said in this lesson. But I think it's good to point out how, again, going back to the headship, which we kind of looked at already, you know, the order of things, God, man, Christ.
I'm sorry.
God, Christ, man, woman. And we've already seen that. But I think it's good for us to remember there's always been a need for leadership. God's always set this up this way. And that's just true in every relationship. Our lesson points out Adam, how he was the first one made, but he was also chosen by God as a leader. And there are a couple of places in the Bible where we can see emphasis on the fact that Adam is the leader, and as a result, reflective of men. Two different passages. 1 Timothy chapter 2 teaches that let a woman learn in silence with all submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over man, but to be in silence, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. Now, what do you think he means by that? I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. In what matters?
Scripture.
All right, in scriptural matters, spiritual matters, right? I think that's true. I don't think it's saying a woman can't be a teacher, right, even in a secular way, or a judge in a community. I don't think it's forbidding women to have a leadership role in any capacity, right? I mean, I don't believe it's wrong for a woman to serve in a political office or whatever, you know, own a company, lead a company. I don't think that's what he's getting at. I think it is talking about spiritual matters. Because in the whole context of leading, like even earlier mentioned, he wants the men to lead in prayer. I think he's talking about spiritual things here. You know, like teaching a Bible class or preaching or leading in the worship when other men are present. I mean, you've heard of situations where some churches are all women, right? And then you would have women teaching and leading, which is the right thing to do. But the restriction in this case is over a man. That's the difference. And that's that's an issue in our society because of you've seen that growing. But anyway, notice the reasoning though. He says, for Adam was formed first. Okay? So one of the reasons for this setup, because God made the man first. He wanted the man to be the leader. And then he talks about how Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived. right? So there's two reasons for this. One is by creation, and the second one is because of what? Consequence to sin, right? And a lot of things changed after sin. I mean, for the women, what are some differences? You remember? What's going to happen for women as a result of what Eve did? Yeah, what was it?
Pain
in childbirth. Yeah. And I've heard of women at the point of birth cursing Eve, you know, because of what's happening. Now, not only Eve, I knew of one Christian lady, when she was younger, giving birth, and supposedly, because her husband said this, she looked around and says, blankety blank you, blankety blank you, I hate you, I hate you. She was in a lot of pain. Well, anyway, he goes back to that right here, what Eve did, painful childbirth, but also, what was another one? Remember how the man was to be the head as a result of that? Have headship over you? Okay, so that's what is being referenced here. All right, so you're going to see a distinction. That's the whole point of all of it. You're going to see a distinction in different roles God gives people. Now look at this. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. Now what do you think that means? That's one of the toughest verses in the Bible. But what is it? She will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and so forth. Well, that's a dandy. Let me ask you this, though. Is it saying a woman has to marry and bear children to go to heaven? We know the answer. Obviously, that's not the case here. So he's not saying that a woman has to give birth to children to be saved, right? But what he is getting at is this role. And he's saying that God has made this distinction in this role, and she will be saved if she respects that and honors that role. That a woman who's going to go to heaven is going to acknowledge this distinction, right? And then she will do her part in that distinction by continuing in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. So she has to be willing to yield to this, right? So that's how important it is to acknowledge the distinction between man and woman. Anything else on that? All right, another good passage that's, I think it's referenced. Yeah, it's referenced in our lesson. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 7, a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. Now let me pause right here. In 1 Corinthians 11, what he's talking about here is when people have the gift of prophecy and leadership like that, of conveying God's will. And sometimes that would be given to women, the gift of prophecy. And in order to reveal that message to the congregation, okay, when she was given this message, she had to have some symbol of authority on her head to show that she was still recognizing the need to submit to men, but she had a part in revealing, okay? And so that's what he's talking about in this context, that the men don't need this veil, but the woman does, okay? He's getting at that, but he's pointing out the distinction between man and woman. And so, you know, obviously if a woman's going to stand up and say that she's been given a prophecy or something from God, she couldn't just get up and start addressing the congregation. You know, he talks about that later, how it's not proper for women to speak in the assembly. Talking about addressing the assembly. So they had to have something to show submission, and that's what this veil did. It covered her face. So he's talking about that. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. For man is not from woman, but woman from man, nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. So at the very least, we can see what from that. What's some very basic truths we can get just from what we just read? What's it going back to? Man is not from woman, but woman from man. How in the world is that true?
She was created from rib.
Exactly. Going back to creation. That's the only time it's going to be true. Because every other man has come from woman, but he's going back to that. So he's talking about the headship. And the woman is from man, nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. Okay? Beautiful message there. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Okay, showing submission to this principle. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. And what do you think that means? Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. But we need one another, I think is what he's getting at. You have a distinction? Yes, there are differences there, but we need one another. I need my wife, she needs me. Man and woman need one another, okay? Especially in the Lord. For as a woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman. But all things are from God. Really neat. It's just, that's just, I think that's just fantastic language. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But, as we're pointing out, the point of this lesson is there's different roles, okay? There's a distinction that God has made. And Adam was given the role of leadership. Anything on this before we move on? Okay. And you can see other cases. One of my favorite thoughts on this subject is from Abraham. God himself commended Abraham because of his leadership over his family. I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And if you look at the context, the reason God said this was because God was going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? And he wanted Abraham to know why. Okay? And the reason God was willing to do this is because of the character he's shown, you know, in leading his family, leading his children and his household after him. And again, God's complimenting him for that. You know, we as men, can that be said about us? You know, would God look at us and say, that's what I'm talking about. You know, there's a man that is teaching people, especially those entrusted to him, to keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, and honor God that way. Okay? But again, leadership is what's being commended here. Okay? Anything on that? Okay. And then we see how that's true for us today. That going through like Ephesians 5, we'll see that God wants the husband to lead his family. Okay? So that's a very important point in looking at this topic. So there's always a need for leaders. We've seen that. And then, as David points out, the first test in marriage is figuring out who exercised what authority, how is it going to be carried out. That's one of the first things you have to come to terms with in living with somebody. Now, there is a difference between man and woman. Look at this question here. Are people being taught to think there are no differences between men and women and their responsibilities? Okay, now we're all going to break our neck agreeing with that one. All right, but what about this? Give some examples of how that's true today. How we're being taught at every age, but we're being taught that there's no difference between male and female. Joey?
You go to the very fundamentals of the same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have two women or two men that are married, I mean, right off the bat, who's in the leadership role there?
Yeah, right.
I mean, there's a difference in the household. You know, the very fundamentals tell that there's a helper to the man, and it takes a total cooperation of both people to understand the roles to make it work. I mean, you got two people that are of the same mind,
Right.
At what point do they divide up the I'm a man, I'm a woman here in this situation? I don't care which sex it is.
Right. Isn't it odd, though, that even in the same-sex relationships, one's going to take the more masculine role and one's going to take the more feminine role? To me, it seems like that happens. So even that is attempted, but, I mean, by what right, you know? You're going to have that when you're both alike. I mean, there's going to be a conflict there. So, yeah, the same-sex relationship, that's being driven down our throat today. Go ahead.
It's in the news right now, pretty prevalent, the transgender swimmer that is basically changing the complexity of women's athletics, and it's going to change how they recruit and how they get scholarships.
Yeah, that has to stop. That's so perverted. I mean, you're right. I mean, from the swimming, but from the, I mean, it's across the board. You see this. In fact, I was going to put pictures up of different differences that we see that people are trying to neutralize it, but it sickens me. And I know it sickens. I know you get sick of seeing it as well. But that, I thought of that too. The athletics. I mean, weightlifting. Run, you know, name it. And how dark are we in our thinking to think that that's okay? You know, there's no difference. We can go ahead and have a neutral gender in sports.
You know, even I was hearing that different parts of the country that there are children, 12 and 13 years old,
right,
having procedures done.
Oh, come on.
Okay. Oh, no. Without... Yeah. Conferring their parents. They have no say-so. They are not allowed any say-so.
That's
yes.
Wicked.
They are having things done that will not and cannot be reversed.
Oh, that's evil.
You're talking about kids that are 12 and 13 years old.
Can't even get a checking account.
Right.
And they're permanently changing their body. That is.
And the law is saying that that's the way it is. Yes.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's scary. That's a scary development. What else? I mean, the other differences, like people are saying, okay, there's no difference between man and woman. We're all...
You see in the church today where women are lead pastors. And
for real? I mean, that does. I mean, that happens even in religion and churches. In fact, more so now than before. It's very common. Did you have something else?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Women clergy.
Yeah, women clergy. And what eventually is that going to do to us as people? What's eventually going to happen?
Chaos.
Yeah, right? Chaos, exactly. There's no order, no structure. It's going to change our thinking, though, over time. Yeah.
You know, I think you see generational change as well for men. They've become weaker, right? Yeah. If you look, you see massive differences in leadership. You see, you know, people emerge as leaders, and in any type of environment. And when men are weakened, and we've weakened ourselves, and we're not challenged. Challenging ourselves like we should to grow and to accept that responsibility, then it's part of the natural social norm that others will. And we live in a society where other people are becoming more and more empowered, and it's allowing a pathway for women to grab that role, quite frankly, and emerge. And this generation is just letting that happen.
Right. opposition to this. Okay? So it's happening. We know what's happening. We see it happening. It's it's disturbing to see.
I mean, high school sports, even you're having females be on the boys' football team, and like the other men, males being in the girls' athletics and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, as if drawing the line or acknowledging the distinction. If we even acknowledge a distinction, it's judgmental and unloving. What are we? We're in the seventh millennium since God made this world. So, I mean, how much longer is he going to put up with all this? Now, I know that he's seen it all before, but I mean, good lands. You know, why did he judge Sodom and Gomorrah? Because of this. You know, they weren't acknowledging the distinctions. And they were trying to pervert God's creation. So this is something that God has shown disapproval for. And so we have to be people who recognize this, that God's made two genders. And that we both have different roles. And that's important to understand in looking at the home, that there's going to be some differences. I like what David says here, old habits can be hard to break, newer different responsibilities can seem like burdens, decision-making authority can be hard to surrender. If it doesn't seem broken, why fix it? But the question is whether or not we'll submit to God's will. All right. Now, this was pretty neat. I don't know if you read pages 7 and 8 on Dobson's analysis on the differences that exist between men and women. Let me ask you, though, before we go through this, what are some differences between men and women?
Strength.
All right. Strength, exactly. That most of the time, men are stronger than women. Are there women stronger than me? Yes. I'm acknowledging that. But overall, the weak, the physically dominant would be the male. What else is true?
Women are more caring, sometimes motherly for the children.
It does. I mean, it does seem helpless. It does. It just seems like that. Women are more nurturing and caring, gentle. What else? What's some other differences that exist between men?
Along that lines, emotions.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of along the caring, but I think women are more able to progress their or express their emotions mm-hmm. and be in touch with someone else better than men.
From my observation, that seems to be the case. Because Steph can pick up on things like, what are you talking about? It's the women got that 12th sense, I'll say. It would be 6th sense, but women can tune in to things better than men.
I think that men have to learn how to be caring.
Yeah.
That was going cold when I first got married.
Is that right? And now she's not even with you anymore, so yeah. But you're not alone. But no, we do. We have to. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's the way we're wired and the way what's expected of us, you know. Differences, feelings. Did you have any? Or were you scratching?
I was scratching.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
All right. Anything else? There's some big ones. A little process right there of giving birth, you know, and all that goes with that. I remember when I was looking at something a few years ago, and the headline was, Man Gives Birth to Child. And I'm like, what? And I, you know, when all this was like, you had to, that was the headline of the story. Huh? So I clicked it, and it, you know, it's two men, and then one they've adopted, you know, that's what they've adopted, and it's just one of those stories. But they're trying to say that one's, you know, the mother of the child. Anyway, but that's not going to happen. I mean, physically, it's not going to happen. So God made women and men different in that capacity. A whole lot of things. There's a lot of differences. Men and women differ in every cell of their bodies. As Dobson points out, you can go through and read this. I like, you know, some of these things are a little bit easier to understand. They differ in skeletal structure, women having shorter head, broader face, chin less protruding, shorter legs, longer trunk. Boys' teeth last longer than those of girls. This is stuff he's pointing out. Woman has a larger stomach, kidneys, liver, and appendix, smaller lungs. In function, woman has several very important ones totally lacking in men, like that of pregnancy and lactation. All of these influence behavior and feelings. She has more different hormones than does man. The same gland behaves differently in the two sexes. A woman's thyroid is larger, more active, so on and so forth. It also, let's see here, in brute strength, men are 50% more than women. Women's heart beats more rapidly, so on and so forth. Her vital capacity or breathing power is lower in the 7 to 10 ratio. She stands high temperature better than this man. Metabolism slows down less. But she stands higher temperature better than this man. That's true, man. Well, I don't know. Sometimes, like, you know, I don't know. We're always adjusting the thermostat, it seems like, on some things. But anyway, there are these differences. God clearly made men and women with these differences. And generally speaking, women seek security in a relationship while men seek approval. What do you think of that? Would that be true? Especially, I'd like to hear from the women on this one. Is that generally true? Women seek security in a relationship while men seek approval? Well, I can tell you the second part's definitely true. You know, it means a whole lot to have support from your spouse, your wife. That's a difference maker. I'll just tell you that right now. It's a difference maker. When you have someone who believes in you and is encouraging you to, you know, rise above, that makes a big difference to a guy. But what about that other part, you know, seeking security in a relationship?
Yeah, a woman wants to feel safe.
Right. Good. Yeah. Yeah, and I think God made us that way, you know, with all of these differences. Each reacts emotionally to problems differently. She usually cries, he usually yells. Right? Not always. You know, sometimes I'm the one crying, Steph's yelling. You might hear about that one. No. But no, that's generally true. She's more subject to mood swings, anxiety, and insecurity, most likely due to hormonal differences in the sexes. For men, women remember the most remarkable things. Who gave the wedding gift? Who brought the dish to the potluck? While men probably remember only that there was a wedding and the potluck. I don't know if that was true. Alternatively, men seem to remember what was said in an argument while women focus on how things were said and the inflection in someone's voice. These and other differences affect the marriage relationship. They must not be overlooked or ignored, but here's the key. That does not mean that one is more superior than the other or more important to God than the other. And really, I think that's the reason why people are so hesitant to, you know, be willing to submit or acknowledge a difference of authority. It's because, well, it means I'm inferior. It doesn't mean you're inferior. It means you have a different role, you know, a different calling, different responsibility. And God's wired us this way, you know, to accept this. Okay? So, that's all very, very important. And I love this thought. that when husbands and wives love each other as God directs, then they'll make it easier for each to fulfill their roles as God designed. And that's what it's all about. I need to know my role, I need to know my wife's role, and she needs to do the same of the different things God gives us. I came across this, and I thought it was really good. I read about it in Sean Bain's book on marriage, but I found it online as well. What makes a marriage last? I don't know who wrote this. Some good stuff, though. Do what's best for your partner in life. Respect the commitment of being husband and wife. Be still and just listen, not have to be heard. I mean, how big is that one? Just listen, you know, to your spouse. In fact, I ask you this. How many conflicts come about and divisions come about because we don't listen to the other person? Right? It's so important to want to be heard. And that's good. Again, how do marriages last? Well, that's one. Forgive and forget and not have the need for the last word. That's a big one. You know, sometimes it's just, okay, just yield and let it end. A soft answer turns away wrath. Remember that. To admit you're not perfect, you'll both make mistakes. That's true. So I need to know that. You know, my wife's not always going to be what she should be. And I'm not always going to be what I should be. Support the decisions that each of you make. Be willing to laugh when a day has been rough. That's a good one. You know, we had a good study in here yesterday on growing older and, you know, the different things. And, you know, one of the things that's really neat about remaining in this world is you get to see, okay, well, I survived a whole lot. You know, we've been through a whole lot. We've survived as people. We've survived a whole lot. In fact, your track record's 100%. That you've overcome every bad day in your life because you're still here. But see, that's what time does. Time shows us it's going to be okay. It will work out. And, you know, if we can laugh, if we can remember that we'll get through this. Eventually we'll get through it. It's very important. Divide up the burdens when life becomes tough. Support one another when things are too hurried. Comfort each other when stress keeps you worried. How important is that? Comforting one another. I'll ask you this. What can a hug do? Just going and hugging your spouse. I'm being dead serious on that. What can that do?
Release the stress.
It does. Why does it do that?
It's a comfort.
It's a comforting, yeah. And it really does. Just hugging, you know, and reassuring one another. It's okay. We are in this together. We're supporting one another. Be willing to cherish your true love and friend. I'll say it again. One of these days, you're not going to be together as husband and wife. You only get that in this world, you know? You only get it here. So we need to cherish that, and I need to remember that. If I'm going to enjoy this relationship, I only get to do that here with her or, you know, you with him. Celebrate each year together. Again, take, count your blessings. May you always have understanding to make your marriage work, commitment to make your marriage grow, and love to make your marriage happy. That's some good stuff. Okay.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
I think that I've been married 18 years now, and it's something I've realized that there's no mother, there's no father, there's no kids, it's just us.
Mm.
And then everybody else comes.
Wow.
After that. And that's why I think our marriage has gotten strong.
Good. That's awesome, man. That is. And that is so healthy and so wise and so important. Because eventually those kids are going to be gone, right? And the parents are going to be gone. And so it has to be, there has to be something built. There has to be a foundation. And that's just, it's a really good point. That being the cornerstone of your home. Very good. Anything else? Okay. Well, there's differences, right? And so since there's differences, we need to be reminded of what those differences are. And the husband is referenced here first. And what does the term husband mean?
Master
of the house. That's right. It's in the lesson. But it's the Old English. It says that. It's the master of the house. And, our modern definition merely identifies the person, but the ancient definition more accurately defines the roles and responsibilities. The master of the house. Can you think of any verses in the Bible where that's acknowledged? How did Sarah reflect an awareness of this? You remember? What did she call Abraham? Huh?
Lord.
She called him Lord. Has she ever called you Lord?
I won't say no, but I can
remember.
He's brought it up. Huh? No, certainly in our vernacular, our vocabulary, it's not used a lot. But it doesn't mean it's not expressed or acknowledged. It's just, she called him Lord. But it's just going back to the idea of he's the head of the house. That's what that was saying. And I know she acknowledges that with you. And our women do acknowledge that. And that's a good thing. But that's the way God set it up. That's what the term means. Husband is to be the leader of his home. And even Ephesians 5 talks about that Christ loves the church. He gave himself for the church. He's the head of the church. All that is reflecting the husband-wife relationship. The husband is the master of the house, and so we need to take that job seriously, okay? Because there are men that say, I don't want that. I don't want the role of leadership. I don't want to lead. I want to give that over, to my wife or other people. And that's not the way God set it up. He expects the men to do that. He's the leader. He's not a dictator. He's not a dictator or a reluctant whim. Man, I had something I was going to read you. I'll have to bring it Wednesday. I don't have it with me. But it is talking about that. Is that true? Do you want a wimp? Do men want, or women want a wimp? I mean, somebody who is an easy pushover or somebody who is, not taking the lead in the relationship, in the home. Whether we want it or not, we see that God makes man responsible for that. He's ultimately responsible for everything pertaining to the family. From raising the children, overseeing the spiritual condition of his family, providing for his family's physical needs, and for the atmosphere in the marriage relationship. He is to be an example in everything. And thus, the first to forgive and the first to seek forgiveness. That's good stuff. How can I lead my family, though? What can I do to lead my family?
Be a good example.
Right. Be a good example. Exactly. Example of what? Like what?
Look how you act when crisis comes.
That's true.
How do you act every day?
That's good. How do you respond to crisis? That's big. Because you're going to set the tone, in the household. If you're you're blowing a gasket, you're losing control, then it's going to set a tone in the whole household. And in fact, the Proverbs say that he who has control over his spirit is stronger than the person who conquers the city. So a lot of wisdom to remember in that. but it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. We don't need to panic on this. All right, so we can be an example of leadership in responding to crisis. What else? An example. Being a good leader in my home.
And sometimes being a leader takes being a follower sometimes too.
Right.
Meaning with your wife. Sometimes you need to take the, like, you know, with the kids, you know, help her out with certain things,
right.
Even though that's her role mostly, because I work with she works at home. You know, I have to help her out even though I'm not here working.
Right. You know? Right. And that's big, because that makes a big difference to everybody. You know, when you come home and you're still serving. You're serving your wife, you're serving your kids.
You really don't get a break after kids, you don't get a break. It is what it is.
Right. That's why you go to work. Get away. Oh, was I supposed to say? What else? How can I lead? How can a man lead his family?
I guess getting up and go to work every day.
So yeah.
Not whining about it, or sit quite still and
right.
Video game.
Yeah, no, that's big. I mean, if we can work and we don't work, that's going to be a problem. We want to work, can't find work, that's a different issue. But yeah, when you're capable and you refuse, and this is a big one. I mean, it's not a big thing to me, but video games is a big problem for the younger families, you know? Not saying it can't be any recreation, there has to be balance, but I mean, it happens. I hear it happening. Not just with video games, but with other activities and hobbies. Okay, how else can a man lead his family? Yes, sir.
Through submission, kind of we were talking about the authority in the universe, we submit to God and being willing to put aside our own wants and desires.
Right.
Is an example of how our children or our wife sometimes has to do for us.
Absolutely.
And so the submission should start with us.
Yes, sir. That's it. Because we have to put our will all at the end, right? I mean, we serve God, we serve our family, we're way down at the end of the line. So, right. Giving up our will for others, serving. Big, big, big thing. Did I see that?
Yeah. This is just Captain Obvious, but setting up the spiritual expectations.
Okay.
You know, something as simple as, do we pray before we eat?
Right.
That's very simple. But things like, when we're on vacation, are we going to go to church on Sunday morning?
Right, right.
Are we going to go to church on Sunday night?
Right.
Are we going to go to church on Wednesday?
Right.
Or are we going to go to the beach?
Right.
Because those things stick.
Yes.
So the simple spiritual expectations, I'll tell one about our family. Before we go on a trip, we always say what we call a be safe prayer. That started whenever our kids were young. You know, let's pray that we'll be safe. And Emily's 21. She went someplace with us the other day. We got in the car. We started to back up. And she said, who's going to say the be safe prayer?
Oh, man. Wow.
Those are things that you can help set up.
Yeah.
And on a side note, one thing I've learned from that I did not know at the beginning was, at the end, say a prayer of thankfulness for the safe journey.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just ask for things. Say something on the end. So something as simple as those things, as they seem very small and trivial,
yeah,
that they can mold your family, hopefully,
mm-hmm,
toward the direction that you want.
Absolutely.
That God's
going. Well, that's good. I mean, because I was thinking, you know, when he told the Israelites, you talk about me and when you're eating, you know, when you're sleeping, anytime, you make it a part of your everyday life, respect for God. And that's a good example of that. You know, but the vacationing, I mean, did we sit our vacation?